What a good sister.
See, she provides.
Say the name of their other sister, I'm sure.
Well, that's exciting. All right, perfect. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. It's approximately 10:40. We're back on the record again for the administrative portion of our biweekly commission meeting. And let's see here. We'll start off with, we have one item on consent. I would move passage.
First off, I'll turn my microphone on. Let me go through that again. This is Commissioner Kalk. We're meeting in 12th floor of the Capitol for the administrative portion of our biweekly meeting. We have one item on consent. I would move passage of the items on consent.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Okay, we'll get right into discussion matters with the commission. Just for, I guess, for anyone that's listening out there, as well as my colleagues, the way I look at the discussion matters with the commission, it's if there's items that we quickly all concur on, it might be administrative. We can make some decisions on it. If it's issues that on discussion that really we require, any of us require more information, what we'll do is we'll take the items from discussion, drop them down to scheduling, and then schedule a work session on it. So I think that's kind of the best way to work things out. So with that, I will start with the first one, El Rancho MDU complaint. I put that down for me. I received numerous phone calls from the owner of the El Rancho and others that they had previous tariffs in place showed them as a large user of energy in the Williston area. They are no longer, in their opinion, a large user of energy compared to some of the other companies, and so they wanted to look at how those rates could be adjusted. And so I asked Scott to file a complaint. And Scott, do you have any updates from that?
I do. I did speak to MDU yesterday. They are in contact with the El Rancho owner. They believe they're making progress, coming up with solutions to the issue. She will be sending me an email timeline of how things have gone, so I'll be forwarding that on to you as soon as I receive it.
Okay, and then for Pat and Mike, do you think that something like this was from a previous rate case that MDU would have had a certain, put this hotel in a certain category? Or how do you think that this rate would have probably been laid out there? Okay.
We would have to look into it.
If you could work with Scott and just see, because I'm hopeful that they can work this out, but I'm not sure if this is one of those like in the Otter Tail rate case where we had a large industrial group was a certain class and there was a different class. So I think her point was what class of user is she in, where before she may have been the big user, now she's a small user in the area. So.
Just as background, has the what kind of contact has El Rancho had with MDU in trying to just resolve this directly?
They had contacted them about the usage and felt like they weren't getting the answers they were looking for. I believe that's when they contacted Commissioner Kalk, and then we stepped in at that point. Like I said, it sounds as if they've visited at least two or three times since the complaint was filed by the PSC. So it sounds as if they're moving forward with it. And like I said, I was kind of expecting an update this morning, but hadn't received one as of before this meeting.
Okay, perfect. And just for my colleagues, one of the things that I always struggled with is making sure the commissioners don't throw off the protocol of complaints. You know, if someone gives a complaint to us, make sure it gets into the system with Scott and let staff do what they're supposed to do, because we can't get too involved too early because we might be ruling on this complaint down the road somewhere. So that's why I always want to make sure I bring them to these meetings. So if you're working something and bring them to these meetings for discussion, share it with all three of us, and then we can kind of track it going forward. Okay, which feeds in beautifully to the next one, update in Keystone Pipeline Pump Noise Station complaint. Mr. Sheldon, if you can just give us the background, and this one I'm anticipating we'll go to a work session.
Yeah, I guess first I'd like to make sure we put this towards scheduling. I believe I have quite a bit of information to share with the commissioners about my trip to the Fort Ransom Pump Station as far as location of the citizens that were complaining, along with decibel readings, information about the pump station itself. So I do believe a work session to visit about this is appropriate.
Okay, and then, Pat, if you could jump into some of the background. This is not usually one Scott would be working on, but since we're short a public utility analyst, we asked Scott to help out. But isn't the setup of we've got an order in place that has a noise level, and there's question about whether that noise level is being exceeded is kind of the root question?
There was a question about the noise level at the location, and TransCanada had done a study, and we had looked at the study, and it appeared that they were under the requirement of the order. But we thought we'd go out and check in response to the landowner's complaint and just check for ourselves and see what that noise level might be.
Okay.
And we did have we did have a tool of sorts to do some preliminary checking that Scott mentioned, and we just need to talk about what he found and how we want to respond to the landowner.
Okay, and then is there anything that precludes us from doing a work session pretty quick on this?
I don't think so.
Okay, so let's just drop that right down to scheduling, if that's okay with my colleagues, and we can talk about it there. All right, the next one, NSP ADP for Geronimo Wind request for reconsideration. I have my thoughts, but Pat, if you could set it up.
Oh, sure. The commission issued an order on December 21st, and in that there was a paragraph in that order that.
Thanks, Scott.
That NSP has requested that the commission reconsider. And it had to do with Geronimo Wind. Of course, the commission stated that the really it was after the fact, and that it wasn't actually ripe for a advanced determination of prudence decision. So we denied the request for advanced determination of prudence. And in that order, though, the paragraph that they're interested in and the commission reconsidering, it reads like this. In addition, the record developed at the hearing and in the briefs raises substantial questions about whether the costs of the purchase power agreement, it says PPA, but it is purchase power agreement, that they've entered into for wind energy should be paid by North Dakota ratepayers. And if so, how much? So the commission is saying we're not sure if they should, and if they should, how much should the ratepayers pay? Consequently, the commission will require that a thorough record be developed before any costs of the purchase power agreement are recovered from North Dakota ratepayers. And if you've seen, then if you've had a chance to look at NSP,
I lived it, Pat.
Okay. So the question for the commission, and Alana sent an email just saying that your options are one, grant the reconsideration request because we do need to do it. There's a deadline that we need to do it.
What is that deadline?
It's 30 days, I believe.
From
the date of the order? From the date of the reconsideration.
So what
request.
Date would that roughly be?
Let's see. We received the reconsideration request on January 7th.
Okay.
Let's see. I believe it is 30 days. From January 7th. So it would be February sometime. February 6th.
Well, I mean, I'll give my colleagues my thoughts. I mean, that was a previous commission, myself, Commissioner Fetch, and Commissioner Kramer. It was a 3-0 vote. The advocacy staff recommended against the ADP. Our own staff didn't think it was a good idea. And we purposely put in that statement to make sure this doesn't get flowed through the fuel adjustment clause without our knowledge, because otherwise they could just start flowing it through there. So I have no desire to reconsider it, but probably the right thing to do would be to have a work session to ask you guys' questions. But I don't know. I don't have any need. I'm completely content with just letting it expire and move on. But this is one of those decisions you guys get to throw out there. Okay, Jerry.
I think the issue was, from NSP's point, was whether or not they could run it through the fuel cost adjustment and have it be subject to refund if the commission should feel otherwise. I think what their problem is that it ends up with some accounting problems for them if they're not able to run it through, because this is energy that's purchased and used. And it would be showing up in a couple of months from now in the fuel cost adjustment, because there's a 2-month lag in that. And they were having trouble figuring out how to deal with it, and they'd like to make it subject to refunds. So I don't know, maybe some sort of a work session or something for discussion on it would make sense.
I don't feel like I have enough information to make
Fair
a
enough.
Decision.
Okay. All right, well, if one commission wants a work session, I'm happy doing a work session, and I think it's probably the right choice. So what do we need to prepare for that work session then? Because
Just the order,
okay.
Commission order and their request. And take a look at that as early as you can, and or we can come in and we can go through it with you, and then let us know if there's information you need that we can provide.
So our choices will be if we come out of that work session and the decision is just to let it go, then that'll just expire itself. If the decision is to do something, we would need to schedule a special meeting to do something.
There is a meeting on January 30th.
Oh, sure, of course. We could put it on that meeting if need be. Okay. But Jerry, your question, though, your point, I think I get your point, but the purpose of putting it in there was so North Dakota ratepayers were not paying for this wind energy that we didn't think was a good idea. So why would I be concerned about this? North Dakota shouldn't be paying for this at all. That'll be the question that I'll throw right up front. Okay. So, all right. Fair enough. Let's see. Move down to B4. Weights and measures, rulemaking, and we'll drop B3 down to scheduling 2.
B4.
Weights and measures, B4, I'm sorry. This is okay. Now B4. Weights and measures, rulemaking for frequency of device testing, weights and measures, statute cleanup. Mr. Fawn.
The commission had a work session about the weights and measures program and the numbers of overdue devices that we have, and we had sent an email message out for the service companies just to warn them in advance that we thought we were going to be sending out letters to the operators.
The new portfolio holder changed that? Is that what you're saying?
Anyway.
And his counterpart voted 2-1, and I got beat in my first commission vote.
Yeah, well, however you described that, it's fine. At that meeting, the commissioners discussed changing our rule, which states that devices had to be tested within 15 months.
Right.
And we talked about how the law says 24 months, and we talked about changing our rule to match that law.
Sure.
And so I've prepared this. I prepared what it would look like if we needed to change that, or if we decided to change that rule, and you have that. It's pretty simple to change that over. Just a couple spots to change a couple words.
I thought that looked really good, Pat, and I personally think we should move forward with that. I don't know, Randy, you would think.
I also provided a timeline that we've experienced for rulemaking in here, and so it gives you an idea of how long it will be before that rule actually become effective if we started today, for example, or at the next meeting. We do have to put a package together with the proposed rule and the analysis of the impact.
Well,
and I think just to add to the background, in the proposed budget from the governor's office, we would have two less FTEs doing weights and measures, and we're already a little bit behind the 15-month time schedule. And so certainly if we cut the workforce in half, we wouldn't be able to achieve a 15-month schedule. The law only requires that we do a 2-year, 24-month schedule. So this would seem like the simple, quick fix is to just allow ourselves a little more time. However, you know, when we had our budget hearing, this was discussed some, and they asked us to continue the dialogue as they work on the budget about either how we would transition from doing the testing to just a quality assurance program, or what our options are for keeping some of our own testing in place. And so I think it's today maybe a little early to change the rule, but I think it's fine to be moving this process forward. And if, as I expect will be the case, that we need to change the rule, in time we can set the right number of months that it should be.
Sure.
But then if the whole thing disappears anyway and we're not doing this testing anymore and just doing quality assurance, well, then maybe the right thing to do is to eliminate the rule because it won't even be a factor anymore. So I think we're really looking at a moving target here for these next few months.
Okay.
but it's a good process to get because this rulemaking, even if we knew exactly what we wanted to do and we're moving forward today, takes, I forget what Pat said, quite a few months in this whole time frame. So I think it's good that we're moving forward with it.
Yeah, and two other points. I think regardless of whether we're doing the testing or somebody else's, I think you still have to have the rule that says how long right. of a time they have to have theirs retested. So they'll still have to be at 24 or 15 months or somewhere in between. We'll have to have the rule that outlines that. But I think most importantly, for the public's assurance, a vast majority of these devices are tested and in compliance. Only, I think, Josh, what is it, 1% or a small fraction of the total devices are found out of compliance when they're tested. So I think it gives me confidence if we lengthen the time between testing that the public isn't at huge risk of having devices that are out of compliance. So that's why I feel comfortable extending the rule and moving forward with that process.
Okay, so how do we normally do rules packages? Does legal take the lead on that, and there'll be others that want rule changes?
We usually, I guess we search the commission to see if anybody else has some rules package that could be done at the same time, and so we can spread the cost
sure.
out across the divisions. But so that's one of the things we would do, see if there's Jim may have some proposals for rulemaking, and doesn't at this time. Okay, so do you want to go ahead even though...
Why don't we do this? When did you put down your timeline to start this thing?
I didn't.
If we started May 1st, let's say,
okay,
we could still get this done in the period of time we're talking about in the next two-year period, I'm sure, right?
About 9-10 months.
Yeah, so I would say, with my colleague's approval, that we get through the session, and in May 1st, we double-check with all the directors' rules, and then we put forward a rules package May 1st, then we go from there.
That is a good point, too, because if we have changes in our statute
right.
that we need to do rulemaking on, there'll be other things possibly, too.
Okay.
And so wait till after the legislature to see what they do.
Go ahead, Randy.
That early May time frame allows us then to get on the earliest schedule with the whatever the whole process has to go through. We don't lose any opportunities by waiting 4 months.
Legislative... the Rules Committee and the publication happens every quarter, and so there's always another quarter coming. But
yeah. I think if all we're losing is one quarter, it would be well worth our
Good question.
It for us to wait till May.
Mm-hmm. If we didn't go by May, we'd probably have to be in February, and we've got enough going on right now. Okay, May sound okay. So if the directors double check on all the things, and by May we'll put together a package. All right, I saw former Commissioner Fetch out there.
She's going to stop back after the meeting.
Well, we're going to stop. Can you see if she's out there, Jeff? Do you want us to see ask her what her desires are? Because we'll put the meeting on hold for her. Oops.
We've also added
A topic to this agenda to B4 to talk about the potential the proposed law statute change for weights and measures.
Okay. We'll take an administrative pause in the meeting. Bonnie, could you come on up here?
Yes, sir.
Come on all the way around.
All right.
Bonnie, we have a card from the whole commission.
Oh.
Now, it doesn't quite sit together, but we got a gift we put together because we know you're into this kind of cool stuff. So.
How did you know that?
Oh,
I know things. That's right. Beautiful. So, that is absolutely gorgeous. Okay,
I'll put it right. Well, Scott wants a picture. Yeah, would you please? Come on in here, Bonnie.
All right.
Thank you. Two. Three. I like it. These picture takers, you know. So thank you for your work, Bonnie. We've talked before. We wanted to officially present this to you and turn the floor back over to you one more time before you know we have the new commission in place.
Well, this is much appreciated. It's absolutely gorgeous. It will hold a place of honor in my office.
We were in your office and scooped around a little bit. Thought we found a spot for it.
Did you really? All right. Could you tell me where that is? Because I moved stuff.
So you all settled into your back to your new old job, Bonnie?
I am. It's busy, and can't slough off anymore like I did here, you know.
Well, thank you very much. The new commissioners are coming in, but they're, you know, they're taking time. So anyway,
good luck.
Thanks,
good
Bob.
Luck to both of you.
Thank you.
And to everybody on the staff. And so, how does it feel going from like new kid on the block to old man at the bench, you know, after?
I'm glad that they're all out there.
Thanks, everyone, and that's only a phone call or 4 minutes away.
And you're welcome to attend all of our Christmas parties forever.
Oh, hey, see, now that's a big bonus. Thank you. This was really thoughtful and, just gorgeous.
Okay,
that's good.
Yeah, actually, Daryl came up with the idea.
Right? Actually, Scott.
Scott did. Oh.
Scott. Scotty, my man. All right.
What? That's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Yes, I do love art glass, and this is really outstanding. Whoever picked that out, you did a great job.
All right.
Great job. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome to stick around if you want.
All right. I'll make a few rounds, and I'll be around. You
okay.
know, I'm kind of like one of those bad pennies. It's like, there she is again.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Thanks.
All right, Will.
It's ways off.
Put the meeting back in operation. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everyone, for helping out, getting that together for Bonnie, too. All right, Pat, you were saying we're adding something here? We're not quite done with B4.
Yep. Correct. I hope you received a copy of a proposed legislation that we put together for the Weights and Measures to do a cleanup on things that were left in the statute concerning the metrology lab. What it amounts to is repealing two sections of our current statute, and in the process of repealing one of those sections, there was something we needed to keep, and we plugged that up into section 640202. You can see it underlined there, the words "and standards," because we still require that service companies have their standards traceable back to the National Institute of Standards and Technology lab. And in order to do that, we need to have the authority, the oversight on standards, which we had in that one, that other section.
Well, I'll look at Randy's thoughts from his viewpoint. I mean, is this something that should go in now, or we should wait till we figure out what it's going to all look like?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I discussed this with Pat a little earlier, and my thought is that this could just as well go in now, and I would be willing to do some legwork on it. I think we should find a house prime sponsor so that it's on the same side all the time as our budget. Okay. And because especially in conjunction with the previous discussion about if the policymakers choose to make a transition from us being a testing agency to just being quality assurance, then there's some other language in the same section that should be cleaned up as well. And, you know, different legislators, I think, look at it differently. Some might prefer that all this be put into the budget bill and just done all at once. Some might feel it's a policy thing and ought to be done separately. But in any event, whichever side has our bill could be making that decision. And if they do make that transition and there's other language, then they've got the bill on their side handy to work on. And if they choose to merge it into the budget, they can do that. And it gives them flexibility to do it whichever way they see best.
Okay. Julie? No good to you?
I agree.
Okay. So what do we do now? You get the draft and get it legal to bless it? And
this is it. This illegal helped us with this.
Okay. So
you have the draft before you. And I have an official, like a original version, original copy here for Ilana. I guess I'll give it to her, and then you're going to, Commissioner Chrisman was going to find a sponsor?
I will at least work on it.
Okay, and this is your portfolio anyway, so it works out beautifully. Okay. All right. Does that come before, Patrick?
It does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Fair enough. NSP electric rate increase. Mr. Diller.
Commission, I put this on the agenda at Brian's request, actually, a while back. I introduced the idea of trying to work out a settlement with NSP on their rate increase without going through the process of a rate proceeding. I know that sounds rather odd, but my thinking is that we've just had a 2011 and a 2012 rate increase. We're quite familiar with their operation. We have a good sense of where expenses are going and investments because of our advanced determination of prudence cases that we've been involved with. My concern is without perhaps going this route, you know, the rate-making process focuses on 2013 all by itself, just that year. To give you a little bit of background, NSP's had about 3 rate increases in the last 4 or 5 years. This is a rather significant increase that they've asked for here, about $17 million, a 9.25% increase. A lot of that, it's going to be difficult for me to shave that down a lot from a ratepayer advocacy standpoint. Because the investments have already been made, and the commission's approved a lot of those through advanced determination.
But that's that's my rub right there. Is we've said this is a prudent project. The pricing and costs has never been scrutinized. Now you'll do that, but you're a piece of this puzzle. If you and the company agree to a settlement agreement, that doesn't mean we agree with it. To me, that's where I. Right up front. That, I asked Mike to bring him forward, but I already have where I'm at on it. I think we have a rate case. And that, I think, is ADP is just a process that we said it's a prudent project. It does not get into all the...
I really haven't got to my points of why I think this is a good way to go.
I wanted to give my counterpoint quickly.
Okay. So if you go the traditional route, they're going to make their case with these are the investments that we've made, prudent or imprudent. This cost of capital, these are operating costs. We need, and they're, what they've proposed is 9.25%. If I'm allowed to go this different course, it opens up opportunities to look at perhaps spreading out the rate increase over multiple years rather than giving them all of it in 2013. There's lots of big ticket items that could be negotiable in a more informal, taking a more informal route than a strict rate making process of 2013, and that's all we look at. I could give you some examples of things that I'm thinking about. We know that there's going to be Department of Energy credits that are going to be coming back to the company because DOE didn't provide a repository for nuclear waste like they said they did, and NSP sued them and was successful, and we know those credits are coming back to the company.
Didn't those get taken care of the previous rate case? Or is there still more out there?
There's about 7 or 8 payments that are okay. Scheduled, and we have received one of them.
The things you're talking about that you're able to negotiate, why isn't that things that the commission is able to do the same thing as we get deeper into the process? It costs more money, but it's nothing that you're talking about that we can't do down the road.
You can do everything. Yeah. My point is that... perhaps the commission can do that, but my point is that if
it could turn south the other way,
the facts are going to be the facts in the rate case, and if you're limited to looking at 2013 only, which you will be in a rate case unless NSP decides to work with the commissioners, then the rate increase is going to be whatever the rate increase is. This more informal route that I'm talking about.
Well, but that's
about.
Not the case, though. The rate increase, you can say one thing, and we can say no, and we can all three vote one way, and they can disagree and take us to court. I mean, it's not – we could vote zero. and you could disagree, and they could disagree, and we could end up in a higher court. So it is what it is. It's there's a process that plays itself out.
And I believe the commission would have to order based on the facts of the case. I don't believe they could just say.
But then we've had 2-1 votes on commission rate cases before, so it's never. Recently, as MDU, we didn't agree on the facts. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to understand how there's a rate case that's filed. By making an abbreviated rate case, I think the argument I'm hearing from you is that it might be better for the consumers long term if you can work this out. But how would it be different? And we still need to go to every city and tell them why we're doing the rate case. Are you talking about?
It doesn't change public input sessions. I mean, we still have public input sessions.
So how is this different then? We do all those, and you come in with you're telling us up front that you're working on a settlement agreement before it ever gets to hit trial. I don't understand.
That's been the proposal. Yes, I guess that's the proposal I made to the old commission. It's the proposal I'm making here. I'll say this though: if hearing your concerns,
I just don't see the benefit of saying you're going to settle before you're done.
Well, if you're talking about being done, as in having a rate case proceeding, you're right. This is different. This is a suggestion that we handle this informally. Here, let me give you another example of.
So what does it take to do that though? What does it take? Because would there be a motion that's put forward? I mean, because what are we trying to get to that changes what we normally do in a rate case with this? We have an abbreviated rate case? That doesn't seem to make sense. I mean, what are you really asking here today?
What I asked from the last commission and I'm asking here is give me a couple of months to work out a settlement agreement if that's possible. If it's not, we have nothing lost. The company has nothing lost. Interim rates will be in effect. I don't think the value that I will get from going through that process will be lost totally going forward if we have the rate case as we normally do.
Okay, Mike, so I see what you're asking for there, but shouldn't we be laying out right now when we're going to do our public input sessions? Because that clock needs to start too. I mean, Dave's sitting here, so I don't have any problem chiming in.
Well, I have all of those procedural things here on my list of things to do.
What would be wrong with continuing of setting up our schedule, of we schedule all the public input sessions, and you keep doing what you're doing? I think what you're saying is you don't want us to break apart into formal advocacy and advisory stuff.
Yeah, we could even do that, if you like. I don't see any of those processes being different. We're going to have public input. It'd be a great opportunity if we reached a settlement agreement early. It'd be a great opportunity for me to sit there and front of the cameras and explain why I think this settlement agreement is a good idea, and customers would have the opportunity to respond to that.
That's why I guess to bring it up.
If you reach a settlement agreement, do we still have the option to say no and back and do the full rate case?
Yes, absolutely.
So what's lost by doing the 2 months that you described?
The only thing that would be lost would be my time.
Or the ability to bring in expert help early and rip in deeper into their files and their numbers.
No, we're restricted by time anyway. The only reason we'd have longer here is that we're asking you for 2 additional months. But the rate case time, the process will be the same. It's just going to be delayed 2 months before it starts.
And can we, in terms of using that time up, is that time lost, or do we reset the clock to go forward with the regular, more standard rate case?
We would just start like we always would. Instead of December 18th when they filed it, the time would start February 18th, let's say.
But what do we get to, though? Because this may be one of those we now need to drop it to a work session, but the... I still don't understand what it is you would get from the commission. I mean, I'm not going to give a verbal on anything. And so that's my, I'm not going to wait.
I'm not asking.
So I'm trying to figure out what.
I'm asking about process here. I'm not asking about.
My viewpoint is we should do a rate case like we always do. And so if we get to the point where these two don't agree with that, then what do we do then?
Well, I'll tell you what my impression is. If one commissioner is determined to have a rate case, then we should have a rate case, and we should just not talk about this settlement, these settlement options, because I think it puts the other two commissioners, my personal view, puts them in a very awkward position. And if I was them, I wouldn't go along with some kind of settlement with another commissioner.
But I'm not saying
I want a rate case.
But I'm not saying I won't go with the settlement at some point in time. If we have a case and the settlement comes in and it deems like it makes good sense, then maybe it's approved. But why would we say we're going to approve a settlement before we've even had it play out?
That is not. I'm only here to get approval of this process. The commission always has the right to decline a settlement if it occurs. But if you don't want me to work on a settlement agreement,
Working on a settlement agreement.
What's that?
I think you're always working on a settlement agreement. When I view advocacy staff, they're always trying to get to where they settle. That's a goal they're always trying to get to. Most of the cases we get to those. There's been exceptions where we don't.
Normally, settlement agreement occurs after. Sometimes after the rate case, a lot of times after the rate case, or close to the rate case, after testimony's been filed and sir rebuttal testimony's been filed. This is different, and so that's why I asked for approval from the last commission, and now I'm asking approval of the new commission.
Because I haven't worked through a whole rate case and fully grasp how all this plays out, what would you be doing in these next couple months in this negotiation that you wouldn't be doing if we were just proceeding down the track of a rate case? In a rate case, does that make you cause you to be working on just one side of the discussion to where where it's inappropriate for you to be working with the company and negotiating on a settlement if we're going in that direction? Or
no, I would say the Brian's right that we always have the option to work on a settlement with the company, whether it's the beginning of the process or after the hearing itself. The difference that I see is that if we're going to go through the rate case process, we're going to be really focused on 2013. The law allows the company to choose its test year. It's chosen 2013 as its test year. And so whatever those revenues, expenses, investment, and return on investment, whatever those costs are, that's what they're entitled to. So my thinking will be fairly restricted. The focus of the parties will be fairly restricted to 2013. In a more out-of-the-box, open, without going into the specific year, we have the opportunity to look, what if, for instance, what if we gave you half this year and half in 2014? Or what if we looked at pension costs and said, you know what, just because the market went down in 2008 and your accountant said that you should have you should expect a different return on those assets in 2013, what if we tried to smooth that out so that we're not going to give you another $1 million in pension expense from 2013? We're going to hold that in abeyance and just see if the market doesn't smooth itself out over time, and the pension expense requirements, if they don't smooth themselves out over time. I mean, when you look beyond one test year, you have some real opportunities. So I just think, I think it's worth exploring because the company has had 3 rate increases in the last 4 years, and this is a 9.25%. Is there some way that we can not put that on customers in 2013? Is there, with some creative thought?
But you're assuming every cost they've filed that comes to that 9.2% is valid. Right now, you're
I'm not assuming anything.
You just did, though.
I'm just pointing out that's what they've asked for. Yeah. I'm not assuming.
Well, anything. How do we wrap this up? Because I think we're entrenched here. I'm entrenched anyway. I mean, Julie, it's your portfolio. So I think, you know, I'm not against talking about this again, but I think for me it would be helpful if I still have an understanding what's different about this. It's the same as we always do. You're just telling us up front that you're leaning a certain way is what I'm hearing. So I don't know why we don't continue with a rate case and you do the things you normally do. Well, go ahead, Dave. I'm open to hear your thoughts. I mean, we don't usually do that, but in this case, it's...
Thank you, Commissioner. I would just propose that perhaps the company and staff get together, submit a letter, short letter, concise letter of the potential benefits of quick settlement, early settlement. Let the commission, you know, review those benefits and perhaps you know, discuss in a work session in the near future here and see. But fundamentally, the
you know, the option of settling earlier saves consumers money. This case is we've forecasted $600,000 of consultants' expenses, both ours and the staff's. Customers pay for that. That's for one case. There's a possibility in the next 3 years that we'll file more than one case. So just the simple savings of up to $1 million right there in regulatory proceeding costs alone is something to consider. There are other advantages, too, that I think
we could submit that format to the staff and you guys talk about it, but for me particularly, just lay out how the public still has every bit of ability to input in this process, that it doesn't affect intervention status,
right?
Because those are the things that I'm thinking about that cannot be changed, in my opinion.
Mike alluded to it earlier. It would be very possible to go ahead, schedule a public input session like normal, but to actually have in front of the public then at that time a potential settlement framework. That would be incredibly beneficial to have it done and ready and proposed so that the public has a chance to weigh in on it. And the commission can see how the public reacts to that. So, yeah, I think that there's ways to make the public involvement be even more more interactive by getting in front of it early and getting a settlement possibly put together.
All right. Well, that sounds reasonable to me as a next step that gives everybody more time to go there. So how long, Mike, do you think it would take till we could schedule a work session on this?
Dave and I are visiting as soon as we're done here about this process and about our different ideas.
February would be fine, late March?
Oh, no, quicker. Yeah, we want to – I would say it won't take us –
I'm sorry, March, late January.
I'm trying to think when my golf thing
January. You lost some credibility there, Mike.
Yeah. Dave, do you have any?
In the past, we've done public inputs in mid-March.
Oh, we're talking public.
Well, I was thinking we can schedule a work session.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But I think in that work session, it'd be nice to have some proposed dates for public input sessions.
When could we have a letter put together, Dave? That's what I think.
Okay, all right.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't being overly optimistic.
Okay, sounds good. So let's... If that's okay with my colleagues, let's tie up this one and move on to the... Patrick's got a thought.
I don't know if this plays into it or not, but as thought I had was, you know, when we do a work session, it's the commission and staff.
Right.
I wonder if the, you know, if you were to do a... concentrate a couple months on developing a settlement before public input, if the commission saw the settlement then and wasn't interested in it, and they go on to go to a rate case. We're under this deadline
7 months
under the law. So would the company extend the deadline?
Yes, that's what this is all about, right?
Yes.
The company would be very amenable to waiving the statutory deadline.
So we'll put all that stuff in your letters, and we'll. And I want to have a good talk, and I'm sure Julie does too, and Randy with our general counsel, because there's some pitfalls I'm sure that maybe we're not seeing. So, okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Mike. Good discussion. Patrick, response to PHMSA letter, audit pipeline safety program.
I prepared a draft of the letter to respond to Zach Barrett, director of state programs for PHMSA, and if you have had a chance to look at the letter, let me know if you see anything that needs to be changed. If you need more time, I'll just hold off.
I thought it looked fine to me, Patrick, so I'm happy to sign it as long as my colleagues are okay with it.
I read it over last night, and from what I knew of the subject, I thought it was fine.
Yep, me too. I thought you addressed all the concerns, and I think it's a good letter.
Okay, and just for Randy and Julie, one of the things that we look at for sending letters back is that sometimes it'll be the director that sends it back, sometimes it'll be general counsel, sometimes it'll be the portfolio holder, sometimes it'll be the three of us in a commission. So by Pat putting it on here and you guys agreeing with it, it's commission approval. But then it's oftentimes just cleaner if the portfolio holder signs this. But that's why we bring it here, to make sure that you guys...
Mr. Barrett addressed it to Commissioner Kalk, but that doesn't mean all three commissioners couldn't sign it.
Well, I think it's just clean to some bind to have the portfolio holder sign it, but we'd never, just so you know, we'd never sign something without everybody looking at it.
Sure. I did have one thought on just one detail in the letter. You know, in North Dakota, I think when there's a bill in the legislature, people understand that means something is actually happening and there's going to be a vote. In a lot of places, that's not the case. You know, you can have things... You can have a bill in, and that doesn't mean you're really serious about it. So maybe they don't understand that. So would it be useful to attach a bill number in that response number 8 so that they can monitor it if they want to and see where things are at with that? Because I do think it's a pretty – that's kind of a key element in this whole discussion, isn't it?
Well, I think that's a good
idea.
Whether
we get that law changed.
No problem.
I don't know what the number is, but it –
It's
submitted already that it's got a number, right?
But no, that'd be easy to put in. And then that's a tie back for us, too, if we ever have to go back and bless you and prove what number it's easier to find. Number.
Excuse me.
Would you want to do that also for the, where we talk about an additional pipeline safety inspector?
Sure, why not? If we can do it in one area, do it in the other for consistency.
Okay. That's our budget bill.
Yep, 1008. All right, going once, going twice. Jeez, Pat, this is the Pat Fawn Show today. Jerry, you don't have anything for us? What's up with that? Okay. Request for variance for commission truck scale installation rules. Is that one that, at least before we even start, I read your letter and talking to my colleagues, I don't know if that's one that we shouldn't just go right to a work session on. Mm. Julie's nodding her head.
There is quite a bit of information here. If you want to go to a work session, that's great. What we're seeing is, on this one, we see a scale. Somebody that would install scales from another state came, proposed a project for Fairmount Minerals, proposed a design, didn't check the North Dakota statute and the North Dakota rules and laws. That's my impression. That's what happened. And then this facility is constructed. And now after the fact, they're asking for it to be put into commercial operation.
Forever, right?
Forever. Yeah. With a permanent waiver of some of our rules and for scales. So if you want to have a work session, let me know now. But otherwise, I'll continue on with the discussion. And
well, I don't know. My red flag is permanent.
Yeah, me too.
But Randy, you had a thought? I know.
I didn't understand what you just said. What's permanent?
Okay, we've had requests for variances on things that'll say for 6 months, 8 months, till they can fix something.
Okay.
And so I've been, okay, that seems reasonable. A mistake was made. But this is forever.
They're asking for a permanent variance. Yeah.
Yeah, so that, I know Julie, I sense Julie has a goal. Mm-hmm. Turn over to you, Julie.
Well, are we even allowed to grant permanent waivers?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Yep. Usually it's after a permanent waiver can be granted after a temporary waiver has been granted, but In this case, they've asked for the permit waiver right up front.
So what authority?
What that means is they're not planning to bring it into compliance with our specific rules.
Well, Mr. Chairman, when I looked, I was just trying to draw this out a little bit. You know, it's not like they're off on something by a quarter of an inch. You know, their ramp is more than twice as steep by my diagram as what it ought to be. And the door is like only half as far away as it's supposed to be from the edge of the scale. It's not just a little bit. But here were my questions, and I do think we should have a work session on it. But just in contemplating that even, in the last paragraph of this memo, we talked about a different variance that's supposed to be done like just in the last week for someone else. Do we know, did they get it done by January 10th? And when that door wasn't 5 feet from the edge of the scale, was it 4 feet 11 or was it an inch from the scale or how close was it?
It was right up against the scale.
Okay, so that was even more extreme. And how long ago, they had till January 10th, but is that 5 years ago or?
No, it was this fall, this last fall in 2011.
So went after it pretty quickly.
Yes, we did. As soon as our inspector was at the location and saw this particular installation, notified us right away, and then we followed up. The device is tagged with the sticker on it says that it's not for commercial purposes because it's not in compliance. And then they had this temporary waiver that they could show customers that allowed them to use it until January 1st. But once that temporary waiver expires, then it's non-commercial until they get that resolved or ask for an extension or something. But we haven't received any correspondence on that.
So we're assuming it's done.
We don't know. We have asked our inspector to check it out next time they're in the area. We haven't had a report from the elevator yet.
I would prefer to do a work session so I can better understand some of the rationale behind our current requirements and what the risks are of what they're doing.
Another option is to have them come to an informal, one of our informal sessions where you can ask them questions about their design, their scale installation, and why they think it's it deserves a variance.
Can we have our inspectors too?
Yes, we can. We could have our heavy scale inspector here.
To do an informal, does that have to? We have our informals already queued up, but do we have to notice that there'll be an informal held between us and them 45 days out, or do we just invite them down?
It would just be our informal on January 30th. We would make sure that's going to happen and then include that on the agenda, and I would notify the company that, in fact, I think they're listening in, but I would notify them that that we would have an informal with them.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea because then we can talk to them directly and, and just see how willing they are to modify it, because I'm not making decisions ahead of time, but it's, you know, I'd be fine with a temporary one if they would fix it, but long term, I can't see giving a permanent variance unless I hear something different. But informal would allow us to have that discussion.
Yes, unless you want to schedule one sooner.
Well, maybe we want a work session just to give you some more background before the informal.
I'd be fine asking the questions in the informal as well, if our inspector can be there.
Yep. So, I mean...
But the only thing, the inspector, but do they bring... If you're there... Is there much that they're going to be able to tell us that you're not, so we can keep them out doing inspections?
Well, yeah, if you've got all the
or they can
rationale
maybe phone
behind
in or
the
something.
Requirements, Pat, in terms of why it has to be 12 inches and not 6 and, you know, that sort of stuff.
That, all I know is that the requirements have been there for a long time before I got into this weights and measures program. And you know, you ask people why these requirements are necessary, and our inspectors are good for that, like
Wayne. No, Julie's right. They should be there. They're going to get that question. That's a good idea.
The other possibility is that we call around to at the national level and ask them why they think these requirements are necessary. I know why the 12-inch clearance under the scale, the intention there is that If you have snow blowing in, if you have mud getting under the scale, you have to have room to clean it out, and you have to have a little, you know, get 12 inches gives you a little time to get to that, so that your scale isn't is not maintaining its accuracy.
Mm-hmm. I do think that's a important element in this discussion, is finding out whether some of our standards maybe are outdated or just unique.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we already have one thing from KLJ at 1:30 on the 30th. Can we do this at 2:30? Does that still meet the requirements? Because the informal just kind of runs successfully, right? Okay, I'm fine with that.
Just follow one after the other.
Yeah, let's do that. Is that okay?
2:30
then. 2:30?
Well, I have one question on this for Pat. Is this business ready to take off, and this whole thing is holding them up from doing business at this point, or...?
The facility is constructed, and it's. I asked them if today would be a problem for them, getting going and operating. And the company indicated that today wouldn't be, but I didn't ask for anything further on down.
I don't know. Would there be any possibility or anything that we could even move faster than the 30th?
Anything's a possibility. Could we do a temporary waiver immediately and then schedule the work session? And then go to the work session?
Yes, we could.
That gets them to work right away, right? Mm-hmm. You have to wait to measure portfolio.
Well, I just think that when we notify them of that, though, that we ought to make it clear that this doesn't just mean this is a way to crack into business and start having some activity, and that this is a slam dunk thing that you're going to get some kind of permanent waiver here, because
you're right.
I don't think they should assume that. I'm fine with letting them move forward and get started, but they should know that
customer base that you can't turn them away. Well, Pat, could we do this? Could you talk to them and see how quickly they can get down here? Put it back on them. And then run through the three of us, and we could schedule something, get the dates from them. So put it back on them. Well, if they can't do it before the 30th, then the 30th it is. If they can come down here earlier and make it work with our schedules, and know that this week is shot. Next week, the Monday, Tuesday, all three at the Grainman's Convention, I think. But there'd be some possibilities, speaking for me anyway, the 23rd, 24th, and 25th next week. So that would give them a week earlier. Does that... It's unreasonable.
I think those days are open for me, too.
Julie, that look?
I'm just checking right now. Yep.
So why don't we do that, Pat? We'll put it back in them if they want to come down here earlier, the 23rd, 24th, 25th.
25th is questionable. I'll be leaving.
Okay,
we've got a full day, and then I'm leaving at 3 that day. So 23rd and 24th would be the best options next week.
And if they can't make those, we'll just do the 30th.
Commissioner, just clarification that no work session. We're talking about an informal then.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Patrick?
On that one?
All right. Relating to definitions and route variances for gas and liquid transmission lines, Jay Fedorchik. What did you have there, Julie?
Is this the one that we're doing together?
Yeah. I put it in your name, Chris.
All right. I'm just going to grab my other folder here. There's this bill, House Bill 1147, that's been introduced, sponsored by Kaiser and Porter, to make some fairly substantial changes to our siting law. I think, in general, I'm supportive of the effort to streamline things, if possible, streamline the process, if we can do so in any ways, to... make it easier for the companies while also maintaining very good public confidence in the process and taking a close examination of each route. So I've talked through this with Pat and Alana, even Mitch Armstrong, and we have, I think this bill, the one that we have in our packet, is this with Alana's proposed changes? Do you know, Pat? Is this the one that they're, this is their proposed language?
This is a new one, I think.
Yeah, this is their proposal. We would, I mean, we have a couple options. We can go in and support this as is. We can say nothing. We can, or we can make some amendments. I guess, in my view, we should make some amendments on this, and we can either work through that here or have a separate work session on that issue. But the hearing is tomorrow morning. And so we have to decide what our position is. If I can, do you want me to go through and outline some of the concerns?
Yeah, I think
I'd like that because I understand.
Okay. we all have a copy of it. On the, basically, what they're.
Can you hang that 1 second, Julie? Let me see if Randy's got his.
You guys don't have one? Randy, I have an extra one. Go ahead and take that. I'm assuming mine is kind of up to speed. And Pat, jump in anytime here because we all kind of sat down and worked on this together. But what they're trying to do is streamline our corridor and route process. So what they'd like to do is get a certificate for a corridor, and then within that corridor they would be able to move a route however they would like, without any action by the PSC. Currently, they call Pat and let him know they want to move something, and you talk to them, find out any key issues, if there's any avoidance areas, and that sort of thing.
They actually make a filing.
Oh, do they make a filing?
And then Jerry, too, with a power line, too.
Okay. Then they come to us. You look at it, you think it's okay, and it's pretty informal. You email us, and we approve it, right? Is that the current process on something
like
this?
If it was just a route change within the corridor, we have talked to the commission in the past about a procedure to handle those.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we send an email to the commission saying, here's the project, here's what they're planning to do. If I don't hear from a commissioner otherwise by maybe 2 days later or 3 days later, I will send staff approval for the route change, and then following that, we would put it on the next agenda for the commission to acknowledge the staff approval of the route change.
So there's a record that ties back to
there's a record of what was done. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And
that's
then
the point where I don't see what we're doing now is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I can see where they're going with some of this stuff, and it's to get us out of it.
Yeah, they want to have the approval for the corridor, and then be able to move freely within that so they aren't delayed once construction has started. That's my sense of it. But then if you go to page 4, that's kind of the heart of the bill. And there's the first point where they say, number 1 on the route variance for gas or liquid transmissions line. Number 1, it says without any action by the commission, they can basically, that just says they can move within the corridor. If they're just changing within the corridor without any action from us, they don't even have to let us know until after the fact, and they mention it in their as-built drawings.
See, that's where I'm just playing devil's advocate right off the top, because I think there's some merit to what they're trying to do, but the challenge is that the staff approval has not caused any problems. Mm-hmm. We've never given any, slowed any construction, and if you start moving around inside the corridor, you go to different landowners that may never were affected. That just takes away a huge chunk of what our responsibility mm-hmm. is. I think there may be some good cleanup language in here, but
yeah. Well, then there's second
question
piece
on that.
Go ahead.
On your point that it's never delayed any construction.
That is correct.
Mm.
I have a hard time imagining Representative Kaiser just coming up with this.
Enbridge is a sponsor.
If someone didn't. We had pursue it that apparently felt that they would benefit from it. If
Enbridge is a sponsor push behind this bill, they're very clear about it. And they've had several cases where they've come in and there was a pipeline that was running a square route and they requested a deviance, a diagonal route that initially didn't have landowner approval on it. And we worked through it, we made sure we did due diligence and we approved it. It didn't slow them up, but it got close. But the point is, our job is to protect public interest, not to make sure construction projects keep on schedule. And so that we have not slowed anybody. But that to me was the onus behind this bill, because they came in and tried to get my support on it 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
well, I think they might, you know, depending on how you define slowing them down.
What is our role?
I'm not. I agree with you, but I'm just saying. I think that they would suggest that, you know, a couple of days if they have to get approval to go around somebody's farmstead instead of through it, which the landowners want. That's a delay, you know. And if you add up a day or two here or there on a 300-mile pipeline, it adds up. So, in the interest, though, I think our most important role is protecting the public and making sure that everybody. It feels comfortable that this is a fair process and that landowners aren't just being rolled. So we've come up with some kind of amendment approaches to this that might help us to be supportive of industry and showing that we're interested in being, you know, as fair as we can be in this process to keep things moving in an efficient way and not, you know, just having process for process, while also protecting the public. And one of our suggestions would be to alter under that number one, change without any action by the commission to, let's see, upon certifying in writing with the commission that the activities will not affect a known exclusion or avoidance area, that directly affected landowners support the variance in writing, and the utility will comply with all applicable conditions, protections in siting laws and rules, and commission orders previously issued for any part of the transmission facility, then the utility may adjust the location of a gas or liquid transmission line with the approved corridor width, blah, blah, blah. So we would come back and say, you know, we want to be as supportive as possible. We don't think that you should eliminate us from the process entirely. We think we have an important role here, but let's put in writing this process so everybody kind of understands what it is. Because what we're doing now, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, it's not really a specific process in writing that we follow.
Because that gives us the flexibility to do what we want every case.
Actually, I think it was there was a motion, I think, that the commission approved setting forth the procedure that mm-hmm. we would use. And then when somebody came to us with a corridor change, the commission discussed it at a commission meeting and allowed staff to approve corridor changes when they weren't very far away, kind of in the immediate area. But after notification, of course. I don't think that one was approved by motion, but it's in the minutes mm-hmm. of the commission meeting and of course on the audio, but
corridor changes.
For corridor changes as well.
See, this is good discussion, but there's a lot of background on corridor and route that way back when commissions would set up the corridor based on the length of the 200-mile transmission line, you might have a 6-mile corridor. And then previous legislatures changed the rules to once you approve a corridor, then they could put things inside there without coming back to the commission. So then we didn't like that idea because you could put a power line, and next thing you know, you could put a power plant right in that same corridor mm-hmm. without any siting. So we've shrunk down the corridors. And now we've shrunk down the corridors. It makes it tougher sometimes, and I'll give it for them, that they go out there and they may have a route from a landowner that puts them outside the corridor, but the corridor had to be shrunk because of previous things the companies tried to do to make their job easier. Where if we'd had larger corridors in the beginning, if we wouldn't have had to shrink them down, we'd never be here right now. So I'm very reluctant for us to get in any type of discussion like this. I don't think that's usually the role of the commission to weigh in on some of this stuff that makes it easier for them to do things. I mean, there's not a problem out there I don't see, other than they have to come back to us to do what they want. Jerry does many requests for micro-siting changes on transmission lines. You've sent many of those forward. And I've never seen any really delay. You talk to the company, here's what they want. You give us the rationale. We look at it, we move on. The pipelines, same thing. The Enbridge ones comes to mind because it was a little more confusing because it went outside the corridor. And if we wouldn't have such a small corridor, it never would have gone outside the corridor. So, I mean, this is well, there's three of us, I guess, but I would be very reluctant to have a commission position on supporting this at all.
Would you be interested in seeing amendments to this? Or because you say you don't think that we should go there with
I think for us to submit amendments is, I think we could unsay our piece of what we think. And I don't, you guys help me out here, on the, but for us to get into amendments on things that are not directly doing what we do opens up a slippery slope. We start becoming policy recommenders, that then we get a case coming back to us that we've recommended a certain policy on, and unless it really is a something overwhelmingly a good idea, I don't think that's a good politics to get into.
Well, I'd be interested in Randy's thoughts on what we get involved in or not, but we are going to be the ones carrying out this law, and so it seems like it would be helpful if we were involved in saying this seems appropriate, you know, this has X, Y, and Z problems.
Does this have an impact on the safety of the pipeline or power line?
Could.
Or is it mostly just a protection of,
I think it's mostly landowners.
An old process and protecting the landowners and people who live there?
It could be a lot of things. It could be where the landowner initially wants it to go around their building and then they change it. They're not going to put a building there. So I think most of these are just changes that landowners request. But it could be things that they're going through construction and all of a sudden there's a Native American burial ground that none of the surveys showed, and they got to stop construction and then figure out another route really quickly. Or in that particular case, in this scenario, we wouldn't even know about it. Or SHPA wouldn't know about it.
If someone can convince me that it's a big safety issue, then I think probably we have more of a role in getting involved in it. But to the extent it's landowner protection, and that's a pretty big part of what I'm about in my life, you know. But to me, that's kind of a legislative decision. They're the policymakers, and if they think that right now our policies are leaning too heavily in favor of landowner protection to the detriment of the energy industry, I think I may not like what they do, but I think it's their decision to make. And I'm reluctant for us to really get involved in it as a commission. Now, as individuals, I sure don't see anything wrong with it.
We do what we want. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if I'm not sure we should really be a part of this, Bill.
I guess. Because of your background, the legislature, would the legislature expect to hear from us on something like this if it's in our statute?
I haven't thought to. If you feel that way, you could go down and oppose the bill. But if you lose on your opposition to it, then we lose everything. So offer, you know, if we do oppose the bill, but offer the amendments in case they don't go. That's a better outcome than the bill just passing like it is.
Oh, but the individuals involved there, Representative Kaiser, Porter, and Senator Leeson, they're good, strong people. I don't think they've heard our concerns on this. They just haven't. They've got a bill from industry that they probably trust, and Enbridge is a pretty good company. So I think we have to go in and tell them what our concerns might be. Because these are all, I mean, these are good people here that I've worked with before, and they're Stan Leeson, you wouldn't find a better person to make sure he's protecting land and property. Same with George. But I don't think they've thought this all the way through.
Is
the Siting Act is that it was originally a landowner protection process that was put in place during the last energy development cycle, purely because things had gotten to the point where there was public pushback. And I don't know if you want to return to the same issues that caused the initial act to be enacted.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Something to think about.
Well, I think we're unified in that we don't really like the way it is. They're totally taking us out of the process with this the way it is. And they're adding some other stuff in here, creating interveners, et cetera, that makes it a lot harder for the public to be part of it. So the question is, how do we get involved? Do we get involved by saying no? Or do we get involved and say, no, we don't like this, but here's a way to make it better?
Is
Or do we not even show up?
Is there a, you know, anything with meeting rules or anything like that that prevents us from having one or two or all three of these bill sponsors, asking them if they'd have a few minutes to come up and just discuss the bill? And, you know, sometimes you submit something and you find out by the time the hearing is that you're the one proposing another amendment to it because it's not drafted quite as you wish it would have been based on something you've learned since. And so maybe we just informally talk to them and express some of the knowledge that's been gained from dealing with these issues over the years and how this could be a little better and still achieve some of the goals that they have. But we don't enter into that way we wouldn't be entering into a hearing situation where we're at odds with them. And
no, Julie's right, and I mean that's what I think we both put it on for discussion, is I think we have to do something. Even if we come down and say we're indifferent, here's our concerns, but we have to do something. And so I just, when is this? Is this one of those that's at tomorrow?
It's at 10.
Tomorrow at 9, 10 o'clock? Nine there's 10. A whole slew of them. Well, okay, how about this?
Nine.
Could we?
9, yeah.
We're really getting along here for the meeting today, but why don't we, you've got the recommended drafts that you have.
Well, it's chicken scratch, but it
could
can
you,
be.
Could you formalize that and get that back out to us quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then what we can do is today at 4 o'clock, if we're all around, we meet back in here and we just finalize what we want our position to be. Our Alana's out right now, and then we have her go down and deliver what testimony we come up with. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is probably the best guess. Because you're right, we need to probably say something, but I don't want to get involved in some of this part. I'm against.
Yeah, but I am too.
I think we can just put concerns out there that way.
At the very most, and I'm fine with coming back in at 4 and doing this, but, you know, when you vote on things, when you testify on things, there's for, against, and neutral that you can check. I think, because I just believe that they're the policymakers, and just like they've chosen not to have us say anything about the gathering lines, this should be their decision as well. But at the most, I think it's probably a good idea to use the knowledge that's been gained up in this office over the years to send down some suggestions, testify on it from a neutral position, but say, you know, here are some things that we think would make it a better bill, but still achieve the goals of the sponsors.
Sure. Okay, so does that, I mean, the reason I said 4 is because we've got our own meeting at 1:30 and 2, and I got a meeting at 3. Does 4 work for you two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Esther, could we do the magic scheduling? We'll call it a work session on whatever bill this is, House Bill 1147. And then if Julie gets us back what you...
Yep.
Electronic version, we can just go with that. Alana's here, and we'll see who delivers our testimony. All right. Perfect. Okay, House Bill 108, PSC budget. Thank you all for your time. Okay, Josh sent out his notes on that, and so did Alana.
I don't have that, though.
I guess what we need to do now is the do-outs from that, provide the changes in federal gas regulations over the past 4 years. So, Pat, can you put together something that would justify in a little bit more detail that second pipeline safety position? To include, like, we now have X amount more miles of pipeline to inspect. We have changes 1, 2, 3 that the federal level that have come in, so now we have to implement those changes to just provide more detail on the gas position. That's, I think, what I heard from Representative Scarpol.
Okay. Yeah, it'll take. I'll put together what I can.
Yeah, and just. Well, and, you know, today is what, Wednesday? I think if you get something by Monday, we're probably okay.
Monday.
I mean, earlier is better, but you got lots going on, too. Did I miss?
For federal gas safety regulations that have changed over the years, whenever we do a rulemaking to adopt the pipeline safety standards, you know, to bring ours up to date with theirs, we have a summary of the changes that have been made since the previous time that we updated. And I can provide a couple of those updates, the descriptions of the new regulations that we had adopted into ours.
Okay. And then do you have something that shows how many more miles of pipeline that, that have been sited and that we have to inspect?
I think I do.
Okay, that would be very helpful.
I just need to confirm that.
My sense from him was that he just wanted an understanding of what this safety program is and, you know, how much we're inspecting, that sort of thing. So I think if I was him, I'd just appreciate kind of a summary of that. And
more of
I don't
a general
think distinguishing like this is what's changed from that. I don't know, Randy and Brian jump in, but I think he just kind of wanted to had a better understanding of what we do. What is it that we're checking for and what are we required to do?
I think
I don't think they want a lot of detail.
Okay. I can provide a general overview of the pipeline safety program in North Dakota.
Like what would be an example of one of the things that changed at the federal level and we adopted rules to match it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a whole list, and it's sort of like our rulemaking. When you get into rulemaking, you change a word here and a word there.
With every increase in a mile of pipeline, there's an inspection increase that goes with it. Something like that. I wasn't able to quantify that, but there's more. This many. There, we have this many miles of pipeline in the state. It's increased this much, so the inspection is increased this much.
And if you have to inspect them more frequently. Because of some federal rule, we point that out, that it went from, like with our weights and measures, from if we go from 15 to 24 months, it's a relaxation. If they went from 24 to 15 checking a pipeline valve, then that's an important
There was a little
point.
Bit in our testimony, in our budget testimony, about the increase in inspection days and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I didn't explain that correctly to him, so that's something to just reinforce back in there.
Put it back in.
I think both you and Randy are right. A 1-2-page max summary of it. And then if there's some oddities, like I was able to talk about the city of Granville of their own municipal. Is there any of these cities like Granville that are completely outside the normal MDU Excel pipelines that we look at?
There are no city systems that we wouldn't have jurisdiction over. I mean, we would have jurisdiction over all of them, but are you wondering if there are some others?
Yeah, because I know that we do. You know, is there any other cities that aren't served by MDU or Excel
municipals?
Municipals.
I think we're down to Granville is the last one.
Okay, all right.
There was one in Hettinger. There was one in up by Portal, Lignite, but I think those are all converted in some fashion now, and all we have left for a municipal system is the Granville system.
Okay. Well, if you can take your best stab at that and staff that out to everybody. If you can get something out by Friday, and then we can get it maybe finalized by Monday, bring it out to them.
Well, if I can have it by Monday, I can work over the weekend. So
Monday sounds good, Pat.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so that's the pipeline one. What else do we hear? Yeah.
I've got like a 1 o'clock plane to
catch. Yeah. Yep, let's go right to Jerry. All right, let's move down to scheduling so we can schedule.
So I'm number C2, first of all.
Jeez. Okay, Jerry, fair enough. Thanks for bringing it out. So scheduling, we are now dropping down to scheduling because our staff has to go somewhere. You need a work session on Great River Energy nitrogen fertilizer plants.
Yeah, that's sometime in early February would be good.
Okay. Everybody's at Nehruk, that first part of it.
Next week's fine, too.
How about the 11th or 12th for my colleagues of February?
Or did you want to do it next week, Jerry, sooner?
Basically, it's more on Alana, and I think she's would like it a little further out.
Oh.
Next week already filled up, I think, pretty quick with Grainman's and now the other one.
11th or 12th work for me.
Give us some time. Julie, do those work for you?
Just checking here.
NSP PI meeting that day at 1:30.
On the 12th, yeah. Yeah, those dates are good.
Okay, Jerry, when do you want it, Monday or Tuesday?
Monday's fine.
Monday at 10 or 1:30?
Maybe 1:30 would be better, give her the morning.
Okay. So I always forget who keeps track of this. Esther and Daryl both keep track of this, and then Esther, you put them in the calendar? Mm-hmm. Okay, so
which one did we settle on?
February 11th.
February 11th at 1:30. Okay. Thank you, Jerry.
Next one, Ottertail meeting. Ottertail would just like to come in and get acquainted with the new commissioners, really, and so a meeting. I see we're doing pie meetings for everybody else. We could make it a pie meeting, and
that's a good idea.
Basically, Chuck wants to come in, and Chuck McFarland.
So, if we did, did he have some dates for us?
Yes, January 28th.
What's that?
I've got the hearing room scheduled for ADI to be in to finish up.
February 1st.
Jeez. All right, fine. February 1st.
When is NARUC?
February 1st is a bad day because we're all going to be doing legislative stuff that day.
5th?
The 5th, that's NARUC, Chair.
6th?
NARUC.
11th?
We just got it open. We got a meeting at 1:30 now.
You want to...
You know,
the 12th.
They usually come out the morning, right?
Yeah, like, did we have the NSP one on the 12th?
Yeah, NSP is at the 12th at 1:30. How long do they want, like 2 hours or something?
You know, I'd say an hour to two, well, probably 2 hours if we're making it a pie meeting.
Well, we could go 10 to 12.
10 o'clock on the 12th?
If that works for...
Well, we have a commission meeting the next day.
Yep.
I'm just trying to... You know, I'd like to protect some time to prepare for that.
Sure. Back to the 11th. What did we
and
have
the,
on
the 11th it might.
Well, let's do this. On the 11th, we have a 1:30. That won't take more than an hour, will it, Jerry?
I would hope we'd get it done in at least that time.
Well, why don't we do it 2:30 on the 11th? And then that gives them all morning to drive out. And if they want to meet with us individually ahead of time, they could schedule that. Does that sound okay?
Okay.
That work for you guys?
2:30 on the 11th.
2:30 on the 11th?
Yep.
Julie, that work for mm-hmm. you? Okay. 2:30 on the 11th.
Okay. The last item I had was a OMS MISO 101 class training session. I would want a full day for that.
Jerry, I can't handle a full day with you.
We would have...
Bring somebody in, right?
Bill Smith would come up. We'd have Darcy and Joanne.
Oh, that's a good meeting.
And,
okay.
And we'd have somebody from MISO here as well, Mariah, whoever she wants to put in. And
did they give us some dates that might work for them?
They're pretty much flexible. I had a couple days that didn't work. But I was looking at late February, early March, and I think we were up to, how about like March 7 or 8?
I like the 7th. Keep our Fridays clean because the session's still going on then.
Can we take a whole day and commit to that during the session? I mean, what if something comes up?
I think we almost have to for this MISO stuff. It's pretty big stuff.
But can it wait till after the session or do we need to get it in end of April? I mean, middle to end of April.
What I'd recommend is we schedule the whole day for it. And if we have to come and go, we got to come and go. The problem is with MISO is that the quicker everybody gets up to speed on MISO, that's going to help us as we get into this rate case, as we get into other things, because the background for MISO cost allocation is pretty important.
Okay.
But, I mean, if we could wait, but if we can at all swing it, I think it'd be good to swing in. When is crossover? We could do it that week.
It's the week before that. But I think that would be kind of an ideal time. I doubt, you know, by the 7th, they're just going to be on the real early builds again, just like almost the first week of session.
I had March 1, 4, 5, and 6 as bad days.
Okay. March 1, 4, 5, and 6 as bad days. Well, should we just put this, does the 7th, I mean, I think we can work with the 7th. That's okay with you,
Jerry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, open. It's just.
Okay. Well, let's shoot with this. What time you want to start, Jerry?
Probably like 8:30 or 9 in the morning.
I like 9, Jerry.
9?
And I can have coffee. Okay. All right, and then we just block off the whole day. We'll go 9 till 5. Yeah. And if we get done early, we get done early. Or if one of us has to break the way to go testify or something, we'll just do that. Could they put together like almost like a pre-read package so we can go through it before then?
I can see whatever... We do. I need to put together an agenda for it, figure out what we're talking about. So if you have some suggestions on specific things that you're interested in.
Well, I know that for me the hardest thing to wrap my head around still today is different type of project. What's an MVP project and what is, you know, the type of projects and how they're given that status? The cost allocation struggles that we've gone through and we have to be aware of how they shift. Maybe how new states coming into MISO might affect us. That's just off the cuff, Jerry.
Okay.
I think it's the cost allocation piece and what makes a project an MVP or not is pretty big discussion. So, okay. Is that good, Jerry?
Yep.
All right, anything else for Jerry?
Mike asked me to schedule his work session for his NSP rate case. And he wants any time after February 4th.
Okay. Once again, that's the MISO week. NARUC week. The 7th, we're going to a hearing in Williston. Are you two, or Julian, Randy, you guys around the 6th? I'm coming back from NARUC the 5th of February, so I'm around the 6th.
Later in the day, I'm not sure my travel schedule for NARUC, but I know that I intend to be back on Tuesday night, if possible, or first thing Wednesday. So.
Okay, could we go 3 o'clock on Wednesday
even,
the 6th?
Even 2 or, I mean, anytime after 1.
Does that work?
It looks like it will. It's Mike's thing here.
Okay. Esther?
3 p.m. February 6th.
February 6th.
And we'll call it NSP rate case work session. Okay. Well, while we're scheduling, let's keep rolling here.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Jerry.
Safe travels, Jerry.
Where are you going now, Jerry?
New Orleans.
What's down there?
Bourbon Street.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate that.
Mardi Gras? Yeah, it's PC meeting.
Special agent. Well, we're all thinking calendars. Let's go. Just keep going down the line. Pat, you got a formal hearing for Hess Corporation's 14-inch crude pipeline?
I'm waiting on some more information in the application before I determine it's complete. But
okay.
So it's very possible that it could be on the next meeting, January 30th meeting, for to issue a notice of a filing and notice of hearing.
Okay, so it's 45 days then from there?
No, we have to go. I figured it out. It has to be sometime after March 1st.
Okay.
So if we could reserve a day just in case everything works out.
And we fly into Tioga for this thing?
Yes, I believe that's right.
Okay, so Scott, you're tracking this too. Back to Julie's concerns about the session. We just have to, if something comes up, we'll just have to have staff cover it. So what did we just say? We're doing something on the... Esther, what date do we have margin? The 7th all day, right? Mm-hmm. Well, what about the 5th? Does that work, Patrick and Randy and Julie? Usually we'd meet at the airport at 7-something, and then we'd fly up there, start the hearing at 10. Whenever we're done, we come home.
Oh, well, we often have the hearing closer to the lunch hour.
We have to?
We often do, but we don't have to.
So you don't like 10 o'clock?
That's fine.
You want 9 o'clock?
Are you trying to facilitate people leaving work to show up from public input?
Yes, public input, if there's any of that. That's why we try to go around the lunch hour. But.
And that's on the 5th.
What do you mean? If we start at 10, we'll go through the lunch hour, right?
This hearing could be done by 11.
Oh, I see your point. If you want to go at 11 o'clock, that's fine, Pat. But I don't think we want to start at 10. You recommend starting
personally,
at
10? Personally, it doesn't matter.
You're not going.
11 is fine.
I think start at 11, because otherwise the thing is that, let me ask you two, because if we get up there early and get it done, we get back and we can do any things here that come up back home, because we probably don't get much done before we leave in the morning. So that's I still like 10 o'clock, but I hear Pat's concerns too.
I think it's good to give the public the best possible opportunity to attend, and if we make an effort to be there over the noon hour or close to it so they could take an early lunch.
Okay. All right.
We can still get back. I mean, if we leave at, it takes an hour or 2 hours. We leave at 1. We're still back by 2.
About 3 o'clock.
3.
2, 3, okay. 3. All right.
So.
Is that okay at the 11?
I haven't participated in one, but I think, too, that gives people an opportunity. As long as we're going up there, that's what we're going up there for.
So. Right. Okay. 11 o'clock.
What was the date?
March, what did I just say, the 5th? Scott, can you find us a ride up there?
I think I can.
Who's going to pick us up at the airport? That guy that dropped us off and didn't pick us up? Okay. And just for Randy and Julie, we kind of, distance decides whether we fly or drive. Take the sighting dollars and probably get a plane from Executive Air or someone. If it's more than, what do we usually figure, about 2 hours driving, we'll almost always fly because it'll be the three of us, technical expert, whether it's Pat or Jerry or Sue or Jim, you know, bring an attorney with, and I'm forgetting ALJ. One. ALJ. So it's six of us. And get the big plane all the time, not that little plane. So, Pat, no, money guy, we're getting the big plane.
Yes,
okay? All the time, big plane.
Get the big plane.
Big plane all the time. Little plane, cold.
Plane
okay. No. All right, fair enough.
That's the last time we took the big plane up and the little plane back.
I know. at least we got home.
Yeah.
The little plane was safer, I'm assuming.
The big plane had a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got the formal hearing. Jump back up to Daryl. MDU PI meeting, mid-February. So that's just it, mid-February, huh?
That's the only date they gave me, and they want to bring their president and their new president, chief executive, Frank Morehouse,
Well, we have meetings on, commission meetings the 13th and the 27th. The week of the 20th, is that the crossover week you said, Randy?
No, that's like the 5th of March. 5th and 6th I have on my calendar.
In March.
The 5th and 6th, okay. Well, that would just be, did they like mornings or afternoons? They didn't say, huh?
They didn't say.
And well, how? Is this 2 hours?
Probably.
About 2 hours, yeah.
What about the 21st, 10 to 12?
Good for me.
This is this month, right? January?
Yep. So February 21st.
21st.
Oh, February 21st. Oh, that's a Thursday?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. So that's that one. Okay. All righty here. So we've settled everything except for the legal ones. And let's see. That could take us a while. What did we have left about the... Oh, did I skip one here? Oh, shoot. I got three pump we didn't station. Schedule from before. Never mind. So, yeah, Keystone Pump Station noise complaint. Scott, you're ready to do on that whenever, probably, huh?
Yeah, I have information ready.
Okay. This is where it gets challenging, huh? Sooner than later, I'd presume. So next week is toast. No, wait. What month is it?
I know. You got to be careful when you're adding this stuff.
Okay. What do we have on January 24th that we've just scheduled that I wouldn't show on my calendar?
That was an informal with the Fairmount scale.
Okay, potentially. Date. All right. What about the 23rd in the morning?
Works for me.
January 23rd in the morning, Julie?
The grain dealers is Monday. Okay.
Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, that looks good.
Let's shoot for 10 o'clock again? Okay, thank you. So that's Keystone, update Keystone Pipeline noise complaint. All right, so now we have NSP ADP Geronimo wind request for reconsideration.
What time did we say on the 23rd?
10 o'clock.
Okay.
I like to go with 10 o'clock stuff in here just so you can get in and do what you got to do and...
Which one was that, the 10 o'clock? I'm sorry.
Pump 10 station. O'clock would be the pump station. And they should be, Esther should send out all the invites, but it's
yeah,
just to keep
just
track
a
of
hold
it.
Just because sometimes.
Yep, others, it takes a while. All right, NSP ADP Geronimo wind request for reconsideration. Pat, Jerry left, but Pat, do you have anything you have to prepare for that other than just your schedule?
Well,
We're probably out at the January 28th or 9th already now, anyway.
That is Jerry's case, but I could prepare myself for that case if Jerry wasn't here.
Okay. Well, the deadline for that one was we decided was March or February 7th or 8th. So it almost has to be the 28th or the 29th, especially if we're going to put it on a meeting agenda. So what about the 28th, Monday the 28th for Randy and Julie in the afternoon, let's say? Maybe 2 o'clock or something.
Anytime those days are okay with me.
We're talking January.
January 28th, Monday, let's say 1:30 for NSP ADP Geronimo Wind request for reconsideration.
And is this a work session, right?
This is a work session. It's not usually like this. What now?
Well, we just... What is it for?
It's a mandate.
The Bismarck Leadership Conference.
Well, if we do it towards the end of the day, that might be wrapped. Well, first off, does the 28th or 29th work for you, Julie? That's the big question. If the 29th in the morning works, so we could just do it in the morning and they can use the room.
Yeah, because we have a meeting that next day, right?
Yep. So let's do it first thing in the morning then. And that was the Geronimo Win one. Let's do that at 9 o'clock.
Of the 29th.
29th, yep. 9 the 29th. Okay, NSP electric rate increase work session. They wanted some time to work this out, but we're already into.
Didn't we just do that one? I thought that Jerry did that for Mike before he left.
Oh.
The 6th.
Okay, never mind. Thank you, good catch. Then we jump down to the truck scale one we're waiting to see. B7. Request for variance. So is that it then? Did I miss anything? The legal, yep. Legal. So you got your pie update in there, Daryl?
When do we do the truck scale one?
No.
We're going to have that held for the...
Informal hearing.
Informal or earlier the 24th if they can make that work.
All right.
Okay. Well, while we're on scheduling, we should just do the rest of the legal ones right now. Alana gave me a list of things to schedule, and basically just all we did yesterday with the update for the two DRC cases, we wanted to schedule updates from the other cases. So we have the reclamation ones, I believe, done. An update for the City of Oxbow versus North Dakota PSC dealing with the CapEx appeal. Alana didn't have any recommended dates. Sue, did she give you any dates that... Okay. Let's go with what I know here. Let's start with the insolvencies. Is there any of those three insolvencies, Sue, that are earlier updates that you'd think than the others? Didn't we just finish one of them today?
Oh, we finished one today, but I don't think there's a deadline unless...
No, but which one don't we have to do if it's done? Which one do we just vote on today? Okay.
I don't have the list.
Yeah. Grabansky's not on here.
Okay. So, Sue, is there? I wouldn't think that if we blocked off a two-hour time for all three, that'd probably be reasonable.
Yeah, I can't imagine it taking very long. I don't know if it would take 2 hours, to be honest with you.
What I like to do is block off 2 hours,
okay.
And then if we get done early, we get done early,
that's
and then it blocks off our time for something else. Okay. So, Sue, when do you think we could be ready to do that one? With what dates are left? I think we're into February, aren't we? Honestly.
And that's fine. And are you, for Mitchell Feeds, are you looking at only an update, or are you looking at...
I would say just a legal update, okay. And then talk with the portfolio holder as we figure out what we're going to do next on that.
Okay.
So this is just strictly an update where we're at legally,
okay.
With costs and everything else. So...
The 31st is open, too.
Oh, okay, that's good. January 31st, that work for you, Randy?
Does.
Okay. You want to start at 9?
Just, you know, a lot of times if Alana has to give testimony, that's usually the morning.
Yeah, good guess. Good point.
Be
No, you're right. You're right, Jim.
Did we say 2?
Yeah, let's say in the afternoon, maybe even. Yeah, 2 is fine. So how about 2 o'clock on the 31st? 4. And Esther, we'll have to notice that as all 3 of those. And I don't know, do we have to close those meetings for that, Sue? Do you think that's fine to have an open forum?
The only way you have to close it is if you're going to discuss the next step in Mitchell Feeds, and if you want to do it at that time, we can do it at that time, unless you want to do it at a different time.
I think we just keep it simple to start with.
Okay.
And go from there, because those aren't nearly as complex. I shouldn't say complex. They are complex, but they're not nearly as potentially big as the other ones. Okay. All right, Jim, for the AML one, okay, so that's all yours then, Sue, right?
Yes.
AML, Jim, it's probably worthwhile to do an update on that one.
Yeah, we may have something, for the commission. It could come next week, I guess. We'll see.
So you're saying don't schedule that one. Let's just wait and see, because that would probably be a closed session.
That would probably be closed, yes.
Okay. All right, so I'll put that back on you, Jim. You get us to figure out when we should schedule the AML one, or the Smith contracting one.
Right now, we're scheduled to go to trial on February 4th, just on our request for liquidated damages, not because of the summary judgment decision. But, things could change. There's still the possibility of settlement on that, too. So.
But do you want to, I guess, do we want to do an update before then, or do it after it immediately?
Well, I think depending on the discussions that Mitch is having here in the next few days, we'll have to wait and see what comes.
Okay. All right. So let's not schedule something for that, if that's okay with you guys. All right. Telecommunication case. That one, let's just schedule that quite a ways out. That one is in no particular hurry. We've done everything we need to do on that one. It's just maybe do an update. So why don't we look out quite a ways?
What are you looking at?
Alana provided a list, to me, of all the cases.
This one?
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just kind of looking at that as a cheat sheet.
Well, could we schedule these other ones that are more pressing first, and then see what dates are left for that one? If
sure, that but one I think we've
isn't think, pressing.
I think we're almost down there, actually. Which one are you talking to, Randy? The
well, it's the Oxbow we already have on our calendars, right?
No, we don't. That's actually Randy brings out a good point. The on our notice, Esther, it shows. Like we have a formal hearing in Fargo for Oxbow, that's not correct. That's the judge has got the thing. We don't have anything to do with that as a commission.
I know I've seen something about that.
Yeah, there's. Let me look through it again. Okay, yeah, we have down for upcoming events formal hearing Monday, March 18th, formal hearing NSP Fargo. That's not a formal hearing for us. It's a...
ALJ?
No, not even that. It's the judge is hearing the next part of the case under appeal. So the commission itself has no involvement on that. I think we just put it on the schedule just on the oddity that one of us would show up there just in the crowd, but that's more of Mitch will be out there, but it's not us. So I don't know. I don't think that definitely is not a formal hearing.
Okay, so do we need...
It's a court hearing, yeah.
So do we want updates then on that and on the TIA case?
Yes, absolutely. So
those are probably more urgent than the AML one.
Right, and Jim's going to get back to us with the AML one.
Okay. Or then the telecommunications one. That's what I meant.
Okay. All right. Well, good point. So we'll schedule the siting one next. The siting update for that appeal.
Can we do another one on the 31st in that afternoon? If Sue didn't think that would even probably take 2 hours, Can we do another one at 3 or something? And
insolvencies. So we do the insolvencies and citing.
Sure. Let's put that down, Alana, Esther, for the citing of the City of Oxbow right after the insolvencies for Sue.
Okay.
But we'll have to check with Mitch to see if he's available. But if not, Lana can provide some of that. Okay, so we've got that one done. Those done. AML's coming back. So we have TIA and telecommunication left. February 1st. What about Valentine's Day? Is that open for you guys? February 14th, that's quite a ways out. Good.
February 14th. Oh, that's January. You're not very romantic, Brian.
Well, I have the evening free.
Oh,
after
open.
You said to your husband, I don't think you'll have to be worried about that.
He's always calling me, already calling me queen.
That works for me, or the 11th or the morning of the 12th.
Okay. The mornings we wanted to free up Alana for testimony.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The 11th we have the GRE fertilizer plant work session, don't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then we have NSP Pi meeting on the 12th.
Yep. Well, the 14th afternoon is, I'm still showing as open.
Yeah, and then the 13th we have a hearing. So I'd rather not put anything more on the 11th and 12th. We have a meeting on the 13th.
Well, let's go the 14th at 1:30 and just do them both.
TIA and telecommunication.
Yeah, do the TIA one at 1:30 and then the telecommunication one at 2:30. Oofta. Okay. Anything else in that part of it? Is this the longest meeting on record yet, gentlemen, ladies? All right, Pat's got something
I'd
like to say.
For Daryl. Commission's been looking at the 23rd and 24th for some meetings, and we have interviews scheduled at some point in time, and a couple of them are have to be in the... Have to be in the hearing room. What do you have the times on those?
Not here in front of me.
The 23rd and 24th of January.
January, yep. So we
could Skype it out of another office. Too.
Can we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and
we can work that.
All right, no problem then.
I would offer up my office either way because, quite honestly, if it's just an update on something, we can put the location in a different office. It doesn't have to be this room, so you guys could use this room. What do we have on the 23rd and 24th that we just scheduled?
You have the Keystone Pipeline.
Okay.
And potentially that scale, that Fairmount scale.
So the scale one we have to do here. But I'd open up the 23rd. If it's the Keystone discussion, we could do that in my office as long as we notice it that way.
Yeah.
Do you guys have interviews the full day of the 23rd?
I'm not sure. I'd have to look.
Yeah.
I think we do.
Yeah, I might have a conflict with the 24th, too, depending on those interviews, but we'll work it out.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll just put
things.
It down to schedule. All right, so is there anything else we need to schedule? All right. What did we have left we were talking about before Jerry interrupted us about scheduling? We were wrapping up the
budget
discussion. Okay, so we left with, yes, provide a transitional proposal for the Weights and Measures program. Holy moly. We had quite an extensive work session on that. I think we all agree that we want to transition to an inspection-only program, but how quick do we want to do it? And Mr. Portfolio Holder.
I think I or we, depending on...
Okay.
If you want to just review something that's a little more developed or if you want to be in on it from the foundation on up, but I or we need to sit down with Pat and I don't have a full handle on, you know, what we can do if we continue on with three people, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm
for a certain period of time.
I'd love to look at a proposal.
I think we need to get something partially developed.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
To discuss.
Okay, so Randy,
and
you
I think
take that?
Yeah. We have some thoughts just from our previous session that could even just be fleshed out a little bit. And
okay.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that's great, Randy. If you just want to take that, and if you want to schedule a work session when you get, or maybe we could just do an update on Friday where you're at, and then just follow up for next week. Because when do we probably have to have this to him? Probably next week again, right? Get something to him by Wednesday or Thursday.
I'm sure they're going to probably do almost nothing but hear bills next week yet.
Okay, so we got some time.
So I think by the end of next week is timely enough.
Okay. Alrighty, so Randy will handle that one. We'll follow
through. I would suggest whatever transition plan you develop, it's not an inspection and QA program side by side. We don't do half and half. That's pretty much the premise of Sarbanes-Oxley and auditing and verification is that you cannot verify things that you test. For example, they split accounting. If you provide accounting services, that same firm cannot also provide auditing services.
Right.
So with that same basic concept, I would advise against that.
Why don't you do that, just Josh? You spend a lot of time and so have others about putting in the background. Why don't you put all the stuff that you put together for us over the last while, put it back in the package, put some of your thoughts together, and then give it to all three of us again, just so flush some more detail out there, because you put a lot into this. And same thing for Shelley and Sue. If you've got any particular thoughts that you have as the transition goes, Pat, these are your guys too, shoot those over to Randy and so he can include it in your initial proposal. If there's IT concerns or anything like that.
Maybe, Randy, you could just sit down with those guys
and
walk, you know, rather than getting a bunch of stuff emailed to you and them spending time preparing it. Maybe you can just sit down with the data and come up with a plan together and then send that to us.
Because you don't have to notice your own meetings. You just do it.
As long as we don't notice every minute.
I know.
No, we'll find a time and we'll get it done.
Okay, sounds
about that.
Good. All right. Provide information on what specific information provided by one-call gathering systems? Who's my one-call expert? Patrick, why don't we include that in our discussion about weights and measures? When Randy works in the stuff for weights and measures, just there was a question about what information is given to one-call, and I couldn't answer it. They wanted to...
Why don't I take a shot and see if I can come up with something from Chad Olson?
Okay. Because they were, Bob asked me, like, do they put down dimensions of the pipe? And I said, I don't know. I said they probably put down volume, but I don't know dimensions.
My understanding of what they do is that any utility that has a buried facility, underground facility, needs to report by quarter section, possibly, that they have something in that quarter section.
Right on.
So when you call one call, that they notify the utilities that have something in that quarter section. That somebody's going to be working out there, you have to locate within 48 hours.
Okay. Well, just put that down to verbalize, because that's even less information than I thought that was in one call. Okay. Well, I think we beat the horse here quite a bit. We do have Esther pointed out the motions are incorrect for signature, right? So what do we need to do for that?
What I need to know is how Randy works.
Randy?
Yes.
Randy Chrisman. Okay, and yours?
I noticed the typo on one of mine, too. There was a Fred Orchek.
Fred Orchek?
Yeah.
Do you want the L in?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Okay, so...
And you don't want a middle initial either?
Correct.
Just me.
Okay.
He doesn't have so many letters.
I know. Chrisman and then... okay, so that has to get done, and then we need to stick around and sign the orders sometime today.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, I'll... probably have them all changed by
the
time we're done with the meeting today.
Oh, sure, we get another
one,
don't we? Yeah. When do we order lunch?
Usually we're not here this long, but today we are.
I didn't see pizza on the agenda anyplace.
Josh is just itching to say something.
Well, so there were two other questions that Alana didn't have on hers, but they did ask about the grain elevator bonds based on financial conditions.
Ah, yes.
And then and they wanted to know if that were modified about additional FTEs. And then Representative Skirpal asked about the fees collected for AML and what's kept by the federal government. And I know Jim's talked about it, and he's told me that we actually get more money back than we pay in. So,
yeah, right now, in fact, that was in the budget testimony that what's currently being collected versus what we receive. And not quite double. So,
okay.
Yeah. Let's see. We need to rewrite that in a short answer, though.
Yeah.
Even if it was in their testimony already, let's just answer the question.
So, if you could rough out that for answer, Jim, and send it to... Well, but since you volunteered, you're the collecting repository of these things.
Thank you, sir.
Fair enough. And then for discussion about Sue, I didn't take that as more of a do-out. It was more of opening the door for the discussion about what we could do better, because I brought it up. I said there's concerns about grain elevator bonding level. We could look at financials. I didn't take that as a he wants it back, but I don't know. How did you view that, Randy and Julie? Because I think long term we should maybe next session around submit a proposal on some of that, but I don't think that's what he was asking per se.
There's a lot of stuff going around.
I don't know
exactly what.
Let's do this. Let's hold off on that input for now. And then, Sue, you and I have had a discussion about that. But I do think in our long-term planning, we should really look at, you know, we've got these insolvencies that happen. So if we start looking at financials, will that actually solve insolvencies, reduce insolvencies? And Sue said they'd look at financials in South Dakota, and it really hasn't changed much. So, yeah. So we won't respond to that one right now, but let's maybe we'll have to have a little more formal discussion on that. Always. Always. I think that's always good to have, because I got a meeting with one of the farm groups is coming up today at 3 to talk to you about elevator bonding, so this may take on a life here before we're done. We got enough do-outs right now to get everything done. All right, going. Krista, did you have anything? All right, Randy?
I'm good.
Julie?
Fine.
Okay, so we got orders, and then we meet back here again in 50 minutes, huh?
I have only two that have to change. The rest can be signed.
Okay, so we'll stick around and sign orders. We'll close the administration portion of this meeting.